Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Aquí estamos. Aquí nos quedamos y aquí ganamos. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.
All right, welcome back to the Dog Pod. We have Law Dog, Mitch, and BT here for the final season of Husky football in the Pacific 12 Conference. This is an emergency pod. The last time we had an emergency pod, if you guys remember, that was the Coach Pete bombshell. This one feels a little bit different. Fans, we're going to talk about where we are today, how we got here, what this means for UW, what this means for the rest of the conference, and what this thing looks like moving forward. But holy smokes, what a week in college football and what a week for the Washington Huskies. Law Dog, where are we today?
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to say, for the last year, you know, we've been watching, you know, as UCLA and USC were kind of getting onboarded and getting a foot out the door. And I have to say, a little bit jealous. You know, I was like, man, I hope someday we'll be following them. I realize we're going to go through a lot of, you know, complex takes and complicated emotions. And it's not just like, you know, all happiness and all sadness. And all, but I mean, I'm just walking you through. And like for the last year, I've been thinking to myself, like, man, that's where I want to be. I want to be playing in the biggest conferences, you know. And for us to be, and I was following this news like nobody you guys know. I mean, I was on Twitter. I mean, this has been sucking up my life, you know, figuring out what's going to happen with this, right? Mm-hmm. And then finally this news breaks. It was just kind of more of relief for me. But then also just, you know, all those memories coming back about the Pac-12 and all of that. I mean, so there's a lot to process with this. But for me, I was relieved, excited, happy that UW had kind of made this decision and that we're playing with the big boys on the big stage. I'm not saying we're going to be making the CFP every year. But what I am saying is we will be able to earn that on the field. And I don't know that we've ever been able to say that since the Don James era. Even going back to 2000, think about when we were third ranked, won the Rose Bowl. We had beaten Miami, who got to play for the national championship. And we were just left out because we were like, oh, you're just this Pac-12, Pac-10 school on the side, right? We aren't taking you that seriously. And we didn't get a chance to play for it on the field. And that's what I've always just wanted for the Huskies. I want an opportunity to earn it on the field. And I think with this move, I think that's what we get.
Yeah. Mitch, what'd you think, bud? How'd the news hit you?
I mean, it's so complicated to your point, Law Dog, and like great points that you called out there. I feel so conflicted. It's like a funeral, but then like a new girlfriend as well that I'm excited about. And it's like, what? I can't get my emotions kind of straightened out. Like half the time I'm sad, and then the other half I'm like pumped. We were just talking about this. Like I spent the evening, the Big Ten had on the Big Ten Network had like a 3-hour special on specifically Washington and Oregon joining the conference. And they were talking about the schedules, very in-depth interviews. They went around the league. Like, we deserve that, right? Like, Law Dog, like, to your point, right? Like, look at this mess that we've been with the Pac-12 conference and the Larry Scott finger, you know, like, just terrible mismanagement and putting us in this position to begin with. So, like, there's a part of me that I'm super bummed. I feel bad for Coug fans and Cal fans. And, you know, there's also this thing of like, I think we're losing part of what made college football so special, where these regional rivalries mean something. They matter. Mm-hmm. They've been around for over 100 years. You know, I have family members, right? Like that we have so much fun ribbing each other. And some are Cougs, some are Beavers. Like, yep. You know, heaven forbid I even have an aunt who's a Duck and she's great, except for during college football season. And so, you know, there's a part of me that laments the networks having so much control and this being clearly a financial move. Mm-hmm. But then there's this other thing that starts getting, I'm getting really excited. Like, I want to go to a game in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I want to go experience Camp Randall. Like, I'm like, holy shit, I'm pumped. I want to start booking some flights.
Minnesota was an interesting choice there, Mitch, but go for it, BT.
I look at the landscape of road games that are coming up, and there's probably only two or three that I might not be excited about, but the rest of them, I'm with you, man. I think I called Mitch, you were on that thread. I think I called this about 8 days ago. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is, I was kind of reading through the tea leaves and had some call it inside scoop or whatever, that this was the primary focus of Jen Cohen and Anne-Marie Calcet. Was the primary focus was not trying to make this deal work. The primary focus was the Big Ten. And once, and I felt like that was the biggest blocker, was, you know, the president, Anne-Marie Calcet, deciding that this was the right move. And that at that point, the way that the deal process went forward, and I looked at this from like, this is kind of like my day job is trying to do deals like this with tech companies like Apple. And if you have an amazing offer, you don't come in with backup offers. You come in with one offer and you close it. And if you don't, you better come up with multiples and figure out what people want. And I think what they came out with, and you know, this Apple offer, no matter what people say, they had seen this for a while, right? I'm sure Colorado had seen this, and that was what tipped their cap to go. Was what Arizona started flirting with, what Washington started flirting with. But I think the pushback to Klyavkov was, well, you know, what can we get? Can we get some over the air? Can we, you know, what can you get? And he came back with the exact same offer, and then it was over. You know, and that's what made us move. I think. I'm lamenting the end of true West Coast college football from a conference perspective. I'm lamenting the end of some amazing road trips to the Arizona schools. The great things that I think Corvallis and Wazoo, that if I hate to say, if they end up in the Mountain West, I don't know what happens to them. I don't know if they survive in any way that they do before. I'm lamenting, just like you said, the power that Fox, ABC, ESPN have. But at the same time, all we've been saying for a year is college football is moving to two super conferences, maybe three. And if you're not part of that, you're out. And you will slowly become the Mountain West. And our football operations, and to some extent, Wazoo and Oregon State, cannot fund themselves with Mountain West money. This was a question of survival. We didn't put the nail in the coffin. This was USC and UCLA, primarily USC. Because the Big Ten was not taking UCLA without USC. UCLA was a come along to get USC, and that's what made them put the ball in motion, and this thing was not survivable. I'd say we'll talk about blame going around, but I am really excited about Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis. I mean, shoot, even not the best game environments, Northwestern, shoot, it's in Chicago, man. It's in Chicago, right? Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Iowa. I mean, take your pick. Go down the road. I'm excited about all these, and I'm excited that we're going to be part of this moving forward. The one other nugget I'll throw out there, I think that we played a pretty piss-poor poker hand. You cannot tell me a logical reason that UCLA should be getting a full share to ours, that we should be getting Rutgers money, that Oregon should be getting Rutgers money, except that when they came in, they played a strong hand, and we came in with absolutely no other viable options. If they would have offered us $25 million a year, we probably would have taken it. That's a bummer. But is the whole thing a bummer? Absolutely. But is this the best option for my Washington Huskies? Hell yeah.
Well, let's go into the little bit of the details on that, on the TV stuff. I mean, we've kind of been, you know, let's say this, when UCLA and USC announced they were leaving, right? Yes, that was the first hole in the hull of the ship of the Pac-12, right? And it was like, okay, now you're kind of scrambling for survival, right? And how are you going to survive it? But then we got this kind of gift from the CFP, which said, we're going to open it up. Yep. To 12 teams. And so I think there was a thought that, like, okay, well, you could stay in a weakened Pac-12 and make the CFP more frequently and reap the rewards of that. And so it looked like, okay, the conference will kind of survive. I mean, look at the Big 12, like they had survived, right? So So I think, you know, it, at that point it wasn't dead, but I think 14 months or whatever, it's 13 months after this happened, Klyavkov is still cobbling together a TV contract. And I mean, it's not his fault. We've talked about a lot of these things, you know, on the air before, like the demand for Pac-12 football viewership just isn't what it is in the Big Ten. It's not what it is in the SEC. I mean, he can't go to the networks and get the same kind of deal. But there was a lot of reports that the university presidents, you know, the CEOs of the Pac-12, so to speak, you know, were all convincing themselves that they were worth more than what they were getting. And it just, the deal fell apart and the Big 12 kind of got your money. Mm-hmm. And when that happened and when ESPN gave them a pro rata clause to say any additions you make from the Power Five, we will pay for commensurate, you know, amount. That was like being an accessory to the murder of the Pac-12. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what that was. Yeah. Because they just said, go raid the Pac-12 for as many teams as you can. We'll pay you for them, right?
Right.
And then once we saw this in the last couple of weeks, right, we saw Colorado, and then it was like, oh, shoot, everybody's looking for a lifeboat. But, you know, then you're seeing online, you're seeing pushback. Like, hey, the networks want you to stop at 16. Well, what the – why didn't you put that in the contract then? Right. Why did you just let them, you know, raid the Pac-12 and decimate it, right? And the reason, you know, is because they didn't want Wazoo or Oregon State or Cal, you know, as part of this new future. And that was a network thing and a network decision. And ESPN, you know, I think they're an accessory to the murder of the Pac-12. And we'll talk about all the blame and whatnot. But, I mean, once that all started, once those dominoes all started – falling, we just had no choice. I mean, we can't go on a streaming only, we being the Huskies cannot go on a streaming only contract when you're trying to out recruit Oregon and USC and Ohio yep. State, who are pulling recruits out of your state, out of your backyard. I mean, we can't survive if that is going to be the way forward. So we had to get into the Big Ten. And so BT, yes, we would have taken it for a dollar, right, to go to the Big Ten if we were going to get a full share later on. And you're right, we didn't have a ton of leverage. But I mean, this was a decision that had to be made. And fortunately, I mean, it will still be part of the Big Ten, you know, postseason revenue and the NCAA tournament revenue and all those other things that will probably make this a lot more rewarding than it kind of felt, right? You know, you don't want to feel like I'm Rutgers. I'm worth half of a regular Big Ten team, right? I'm worth half of Illinois. Right. Like,
yeah, but like, OK, let's be real, too. This is a long term play, right? Long-term, like,
yeah,
this is long term. We're going to be a full revenue partner in 6 years when the new deals get negotiated. That money will be in the whatever $80-100 million range, maybe even bigger by then. And, you know, we are going to get, I think, some of the things that we've been complaining about. On from an exposure perspective, we're going to be on TV, all these benefits of being in a real conference. I am just looking forward to not being in a conference where our leadership has been being outmaneuvered now for the past. Like, this is ridiculous, you guys. Like, I just don't understand the arrogance of these conference presidents and chancellors and these leadership teams that have been put together where people have literally been outmaneuvering us, and I'm tired of being the butt of every joke. Like, this, like, let's start new chapter. Like, let's start moving forward. Maybe we should shift the pod on the things that we're the most excited about now with the new opportunities ahead of us.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Well, and I'll tell you, I mean, I don't know if we're going to do, you know, the blame game, but I'll give a lot more blame to Klyavkov than others. You know, I think he had two big jobs and he could have appeased USC and UCLA with a renegotiated deal, giving them more piece of the pie. And if all his job was to do was to get this TV deal done, and this is all he came forward with was this pissant, you know, Apple deal, that if you look at the things that he did in like Big 12, he's out, the Wilner, I think, had a great report on, you know, the Big 12 commissioner is out getting legitimate media group consulting coming in, and Klyavkov hires a buddy of his from law school at Virginia with no media experience
yeah,
as his consultant.
that was in The Athletic, and that was a surprise to me too when I read that. And I mean, it just, you know, that's the kind of stuff you can't be doing when you're playing from behind. And when I read that, I was like, you kind of are getting what you deserve, George.
Right. Even though, look, Larry Scott dealt him a shit sandwich. The president's allowed Larry Scott to give him that. But,
Let's get into that a little bit, okay? I mean, I think we're all itching to kind of like play, you know, kind of burn somebody at the stake for this. Because, I mean, like I said, these are complex feelings, right? Yes, I'm happy for the future of Husky football in this new world. I had a choice between that or staying on a sinking ship where the hull had been pierced and it was going down. And then Colorado dealt it another blow, right? And then, I mean, by all reports, Arizona was about to deal it another blow. So, I mean, at that point, you know, my choice wasn't let's go back to the traditional Pac-10 and play the Big Ten in the Rose Bowl and have this like prestige and of West Coast football. That just wasn't a choice that we had in front of us, right? I mean, I would take that choice over both of what we have. You know, I would take a strong Pac-12 with the ties to the Rose Bowl and access to the national championship and all of that. I would take that over what we have today versus what we were going to be faced with if we had stuck around. So, those weren't our choices. So I think to go back a little bit, I think Larry Scott, you got to just imagine this, guys. This is a fact. This is absolutely a fact. 12 years ago, the Pac-12 signed this, was it $3 or $4 billion? It was the largest media contract in the NCAA. It was the largest. It was bigger than the SEC. It was bigger than the Big Ten. 12 years later, 8 of the teams are gone and the conference is basically dissolved. So, I mean, that's how fast this stuff has been moving. Yeah. But because they made some serious miscalculations along the way, right? And one of them was the Big Ten Network had partnered with Fox. And Fox said, okay, now when we go to distribute our content through DirecTV, which we also own share of, through Comcast, through all these other distributors, right, we are packaging the Big Ten Network. Just like Disney used to package ESPN and Disney Junior, you know? It's like, okay, well, maybe I didn't want it all, but that's what I get. If I want one, I got to take it all, right? And Larry Scott didn't do that. And he was getting asked about it on every press conference. When is the deal with DirecTV coming? And then after a while, we all knew it's never coming.
It's never coming.
It's never coming, mm-hmm. right? And so all those subscriber targets, and he said, you guys are going to be rich. You're going to be making all this money on your own media company. Never transpired. The payouts of the Pac-12 network were annually it was less than $1 million per school. So that was the folly. That was the huge blunder that was made. There's been a ton of others. We can get into some of that too. But then by the time you get to this 2020 time period, right, USC has a foot out the door. They may not have been saying it, but I mean, they were not going to put up with this. And it was a sign when they signed Lincoln Riley and committed $100 million or whatever, $90 million to Lincoln Riley. It was like, where's that money coming from? Oh, it's the Big Ten.
Yep. It's so wild. I'll tell you, I don't know if you guys had this feeling, but one of the first thoughts I had was, holy crap, I want to win the Pac-12 this year.
Yeah.
I mean, way more.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, I wanted to win the Pac-12. It's a big year for us, but it means so much this year to be able to go out as the champion of this conference in the last year would be massive.
I'll tell you who it's bigger for, Oregon State.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, all kidding aside, like I think I'm going to prioritize that Corvallis road trip. When's the next time we're going to be in Corvallis?
I just thought right? the same thing. Like, I got to make it work this year. I got to make that one work because that one – And you just don't know. I mean, I hate to say this, but you know that. Look, again, if they end up in the Mountain West Conference, Wazoo and Oregon State, they it'll be a different brand of football within a few years, right?
Well, and the guys, they just did a massive stadium project. They've got huge debt. Cal is right in the middle of their stadium debt, and we all know Wazoo. I mean, we're going to talk about, I'm sure we'll talk about this, but like Wazoo has just been a poster child for debt in the athletic department for decades, you know, and, you know, here they were projecting to their Board of Regents meeting, right? That this was like, oh, we're projecting about $20 million for next year and going forward and all that. And that made a bunch of news because like, what do they know about the Pac-12 deal and all that? And it's like, you know, those things are all like, how are they going to finance this debt at Cal, at Oregon State? I mean, what are they going to do at Washington State? I mean, it's absolutely brutal. But for Washington, in the same position, that debt on Husky Stadium starts mm-hmm. to ratchet up in 2 years. And it's like, yep. we need to take care of ourselves.
You got to be ready
like,
for it.
Yeah.
And a big part of our contract is that we can take futures. We can take loans against and to help when that principal, those principal payments start coming due, right, on Husky Stadium.
Right. So just to break it down, the Big Ten contract, it's been reported, the Huskies won't confirm this yet, but that the Huskies will be getting a $30 million cut out of the media rights from the Big Ten in year one. That goes up 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36 over the 7 years of the deal. So it averages $33 million a year if you average it all out. And they could borrow up to $10 million on future returns. So if the next – and by the end of that Big Ten deal, a full share is going to be like $90 million. If assuming it's $90 million in the next, then you could take $80 million then to have $40 million now. That's kind of how they've structured it. So we can do that. It's kind of an interesting idea. I don't know what Jen Cohn's going to want to do there, but I mean, think about this. They did not fire Mike Hopkins. We don't talk a lot of basketball on this show, but they did not fire Mike Hopkins, largely believe because they didn't think they could afford that like $4 million buyout. And it's like,
I spent a fair amount of time down close to Husky Stadium this week. You know, son was in the Mike Hopkins hoop camp, just a quick aside. And it was, it's cool. You see players and stuff, it was awesome, but like definitely you showed up and they were like, what's the plan today? And the graduate assistants were just kind of huddled together and be like, layup lines. I was like, dude,
we're watching
Twitter.
Is there
a plan on a whiteboard or anything? Do we know, like, you know, are we going to tell these kids like what we're doing? And then they would just go, all right, you on this side and you on this side. And I go over and I pick up my kid. And he's like, dude, I don't know. I was guarding a 19-year-old. It was such an S show. But we're in the Mike Hopkins hoop camp. Let's let this thing slide this week. So I guess real quick. Now I'll just throw this around. Where do these final four teams end up? Okay, and let's put Wazoo and Oregon State in a bucket. Where do they end up?
There's a lot of reports that the Mountain West is talking to the Pac-12. There's reports that they're looking at what's the American AAC conference with it's got SMU and that Cincinnati was in. Okay. And they have... I think their media rights are probably richer than the Mountain West, probably about double, but they're still only, you know, per team, it's still only like $5 million a year or something like that. So any team that goes with either one of these will be taking a huge haircut. But with that said, Cal, Stanford, I mean, even Wazoo, probably worth quite a bit more than that in terms of their open air market when they were in a Power Five conference. I don't know, you know, I'm not a media expert, but I'm assuming that value goes down if you're not playing, you know, a lot of Power Five schools here. But I mean, here we are offering the Cougs, hey, we'll play the Apple Cup with you. They may not want to do that, right? We're hearing a lot of blowback. We, you know, screw those guys. We don't want to play them ever again.
It's fine.
We should talk about that. I mean, if I had to predict, I would think that there's going to be some merger, but under the Pac-12 banner, because they still have this like autonomous five, Power five designation from the NCAA. And I think it's valuable to any team to come in there, even if at a reduced media payout, just to have that autonomous, that Power Five. But something really important that goes along with this, right? We know the CFP contract will allow those top six conference champions for the next, you know, going forward into the next, but the contract's up in 2026. Nobody's talking about this. Well, there's only two seasons of the 12 team playoff. So after that, everything's going to be up for negotiation. And do you think the Big Ten and the SEC are going to want to share with a really, really diluted, watered down, you know, Pac-12? Like, I think that those numbers are probably changing. So I think I think that's going to ultimately, who knows, but I'm just
okay,
saying.
So you're saying, but okay, so you're saying there's the American, there's the Mountain West, and then there's some type of merger where the Pac-12 still survives, but either adds teams or merges with Mountain West.
That's been reported. Yeah. And I mean, okay. I don't think that they've been like, you know, they've had a few days to work on this. So I don't know like how far along it is, but that's been reported. I think there's a chance you could see Stanford go independent. I don't think that's it. I mean, like, I don't know. Cal, Wazoo, Oregon State, I think they're probably better off just trying to stick together if they can.
Yeah, I had seen some of that too, Law Dog. But you raise an excellent point that for at least the next few years, they still have an asset. This is there's a valuable thing there if they could hold on to it versus just floating away to, you know, the American Conference or, the Mountain West. One other interesting thing that I had heard on the Big Ten show is apparently the ACC is also reviewing their grants of rights agreement. Now, they got to be really careful, right? Because they can't let Florida State leave, all that stuff going on right now. But there might be the ability for expansion in the ACC with the way that things are written.
Can you imagine?
So they were also thinking about that too. What a crazy twist of fate that would be if that came around.
The ACC, I mean, the way the grant of rights works, I've done a lot of reading on all these subjects. So I'm pretty sure the grant of rights works in the ACC, and it goes till 2036. So 12 more seasons after this one.
Wow.
Or maybe 13 seasons after this one. But in any case, not till 2036. And you have to break the contract. Not only you've signed away your contract rights to ESPN. So ESPN can broadcast your home games for the next 13 years, whether you're in a conference of their choosing or not.
Oh, wow.
But in order to break the grant of rights and get out of it, you have to repay everything that the conference has paid back to you. For Florida State, the Florida State president, if you haven't heard this, came out and said,
right,
we want out. For them to get out of it, I saw a calculation online putting an estimated $300 million that it would cost them to break the grant of rights. And then they're still not on TV for 12 years. What they're trying to do essentially is saying we were misled, because you can break the grant of rights for fraud or misrepresentation and things like that. So they're trying to make the case that they were misled about what they were going to earn. And then by doing so, they end up in litigation and then there's a settlement. So that's, I think, their strategy at this point. But how this connects back is Florida State, they're looking around going, wait, UW and Oregon are in the Big Ten. Like, we want to be in the Big Ten. And so, they're like, hey, the spots are, there's not going to be a spot for us, right? There's not going to be a chair when the music stops here. So that's why there's that urgency now where they're trying to get out. And the Big Ten, you know, is thought to really want to be a national conference, including, you know, getting some tentpole schools in the South, like Florida State or Clemson or Miami. So that could be where this is heading next before it tries to pull in Cal and Stanford. I think the Cal and Stanford, you know, Stanford, I wouldn't write it off. I don't think Cal, the Big Ten, is going to happen. I think they'd much rather have some of those ACC schools.
Right. It's just nuts. Well, I think so. We talked a little bit about blame going around, what we think happens to the other four schools that are remaining. And I think we've all lamented a little bit about both the media control, the end of some of these amazing rivalries. And we'll just kind of talk to these. I'll just say real quick and shout this out. Like, we've had some amazing road games over the years, you know, whether it's like with the Free Ball and Podcast guys in Colorado, you know, Wildcat Radio in Tucson, the Pig Bus and Utah Man crew in Salt Lake City. I mean, just amazing, right? And you know, who can beat a road game down into Arizona as a fan? You know, those are tough to beat. And it's a bummer that these things are going away. But I think not only having a seat at the big table and being part of one of the big power, we call, you know, ultimately it's going to be, I think, these big super conferences that we're going to be a part of. Some amazing road games are coming through. It's also, you know me, I'm always taking a look at like the Lifetime Win series. And one thing I'm lamenting is I really wanted to get back
ASU
that
got
Lifetime
us.
ASU. I wanted
ASU
that.
ASU got, ASU us, got yeah. us.
They did. They did. They got us. This year's another one with Stanford. We're up plus one. We got to win this year.
That up, BT.
Oh, just kills me, right? When we're ending that stupid thing against those freaking idiots. But, you know, when we go, you know, I was interesting of like, I like to think of us when I think of the, I think of us from a football perspective of like, you know, are you, you know, when you're talking modern football, you're talking historic football, and you're talking historic football, I think, you know, we're obviously like USC is the big power and we're fighting around. Are we number two or is it a UCLA? Right. You know, that to me has always been, you know, the argument. And from a modern day perspective, USC still, and, you know, it's Oregon, obviously you can't deny that they're up there with us. And have a leg up during lots of decades, you know, in the recent decades for sure. And then from an academic perspective, it's really interesting. I always think of like with Stanford, one thing I hate to say is if Stanford sort of withers away, you're not going to have this problem anymore where, you know, you have the Foster Sorrells of the world and others where it's these amazing players that as soon as they get the Stanford offer, like it's over, dude, it's over. You know, that academic was that we just can't get anymore. But from an academic perspective, I always thought like we're, you know, kind of up there as well. But you think of like the Big Ten, it's really interesting. If you've got Northwestern, you've got Michigan, you've got, you know, really good. But I think Washington is still right there where it has been before, where we're, you know, we're not Northwestern, we're not Michigan, but we're right there. And from a football perspective and a historical perspective, it is interesting where it's a much larger conference. But look, let's be honest, man. Now, not only we have USC, you've got Ohio State, you've got Michigan. Huge historically. Bigger programs than we are have with greater histories, and also from a modern day perspective, like this is going to be tough. This is going to be hard, and you got, you know, there's Penn State, there's others.
Yeah, I mean, case in point, look at Nebraska. Look what happened has happened to Nebraska since joining the Big Ten, and so I think it's going to be, you know, the it's ratcheted up. You know, the talent level, the competition, you know, you can argue, you know, there's the lower end of the Big Ten and we will be just fine against some of those schools, right? Like the Maryland's, the Rutgers, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, to Law Dog's previous point, I don't think we're going to turn into Nebraska. We could have challenge, you know, certainly we can have down years and all that kind of stuff. I think it's more exciting to have access to the, you know, the visibility and the seat at the table. If we stumble and lost a game or two this year with a really good Washington team, we're out, right? But if we do that in the Big Ten, you're probably, you know, still got a shot, right? Still have a potential access to a playoff, certainly in the 12 team format, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Nebraska. We beat them in the Holiday Bowl 2010. Right. And they went to the Big Ten the next year. Those, the Bo Pelini kind of Nebraska teams. Yep. I mean, they were doing pretty well, but there were a lot of cracks in the foundation. And then they've made a couple of bad coaching hires. I think everyone likes to say, oh, here's Nebraska, this 90s powerhouse. And then they go to the Big Ten and they're terrible. Well, those wheels were kind of in motion.
Yeah.
You know,
yep.
What I will say is for Washington, I mean, we've got things up and running right now. And DeBoer, you know, I think is doing a great job. But to compete in the Big Ten, we're going to need to step up in our recruiting. It's not going to be good enough to be beating out basically non-Big Ten or SEC schools for recruits anymore. I mean, you know, if we lose guys to Oregon and SC and UCLA, that's always happened, at least in recent years with Oregon. But you know, there's just really no excuse to lose guys to Cal and Stanford anymore. And ASU and Utah, you know, and those things have been happening more recently as well. And so that's what this is supposed to give you. This is supposed to give you that edge, right? The best players are going to want to play on the biggest stages. And so, you know, I think that's kind of going to be what I'm watching in the next couple of years, is to watch those recruiting classes come in. How are we adjusting? You know, how are we stacking up with what we want to be our peers? You know, we want those our teams to be our peers. And so we need to recruit like them.
And I think the better coaches are going to want to come and going to want to stay. I feel a lot better about Kalen DeBoer sticking around, assuming he has success. I'm sure if you're an Oregon fan, you feel better about Lanning sticking around, you know, with something like this. You know, I think it's just, they're part of this mm-hmm. bigger stage now, and they've got some Midwest connections. You know, the other thing to think about, obviously, is they're the you know, the time zone switching, fewer night games. That's going to be nice, right? For most Husky fans, myself, I like fewer night games.
9 a.m. Yeah. tailgates, guys. We're going to have 9 a.m. oh, yeah. slots in Husky Stadium.
Right. Well, and we'll have road games that you watch, that you're waking up and having your cup of coffee and having your 9 a.m. game on TV that we'll have to get ready for. And that the team is going to have to be ready for those games too, where I hate to say it, you know, my assumption is you are going to have some type of act where we play Oregon, USC, and UCLA every year. And maybe they'll throw, who knows, a Minnesota, somebody else in Iowa out there as well, you know, some level of regionality. And there'll be a similar tip of the cap, at least to the Michigans, Ohio States, if not others, where it says you don't have to play all four of these guys in any year. You got to go out there once, maybe twice per year. They're not going to make any East Coast, you know, Big Ten team have four road trips to the West Coast. They'll do something of that nature to help us.
So I don't want to throw too much water on what's been said here, but let's just remember Fox has the contract, and
I mean, I guess that's
for
right.
all for all they can decide. And FS1 has been known to show night games and bump the Pac-12 football with truck racing. Right. Now, with that said,
are they going to do that against Penn State?
They're not going to bump Big Ten football. Yeah, so that's right. We're not going to get bumped anymore, but we still might play some late games. I expect we probably will play some late games, especially in this early part of the contract, because the Big Ten contract wasn't written to accommodate these late games, mm-hmm. but now they had to find more money. Right. So they had to bring in more money to what it was there to pay Washington and Oregon.
I think
so
they'll do it with two, but that's what
whoever's doing teams. That is going to tell us when we're playing. Is what
they're saying. Not going to shoot themselves. They're not going to shoot themselves in the foot and put a 7 p.m. Seattle kickoff against Penn State.
No, that's true.
They specifically were covering this on that Big Ten conference show. They are interested. There was a really interesting gal on there that covers all the TV stuff. And she said they are, the way that the contract's written, they have the ability to add time slots. Mm-hmm. With this move, they explicitly want to take advantage of that later Pacific Coast window, that 7 p.m. window. Mm. So I expect us to continue to have games along those lines. And so I think we will see a Penn State Washington game at 7 p.m.
Wow.
At Husky Stadium.
But we're more likely to see a Minnesota Washington game at 7 p.m.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. That revenue's got to come from somewhere. The money that they're giving us, the $60 million Fox is going to say, I want a new slot for that to get that money.
Or every time a Big Ten West Coast team faces each other, it's at 7 o'clock. Just write it in. You know, like a year, we're getting pulled for that West Coast.
Well, we'll see. Money. I mean, I was thinking about this too. I mean, you know, if you're an existing Big Ten school, let's say you are Minnesota. They've been coming up quite a lot on the show. We've never talked about Minnesota football, right? But we're going to be on this show from now on. But let's say you're Minnesota. You're like, well, shit. Now, instead of going to Purdue and then Indiana the next week and then Illinois, you know, the week after, like I'm going to. So for them, it is more travel, right? Yeah, it's more West Coast travel. It's harder. For the USC and UCLA, they thought they were coming in playing every game during the day. Never a night game ever again, right? Now they're like, well, wait. Now we're playing night games? I thought we didn't want to play night games. So we're kind of coming to the conference, and it's like nobody's really getting what they want out of it, right?
The networks
are calling the shots. They are getting what they want. Nobody else is really getting what they want.
I got to give one of the funniest things that came, and I just had to call him out. And we've had him on the show. He's a buddy of mine, but Jason the Bruin, who he came on with before they played A&M and they beat A&M, if you guys remember back in the day. And he's like, "Welcome to the Big Ten, boys." I was like, "Hey, UCLA, bro, how about you win a game? How about you play a game?
Like play a game literally in the Big suit Ten, up you can welcome
one
us,
time yeah. in the conference before you roll out the freaking welcome wagon as the self-appointed commissioner of the Big Ten, buddy." Like. Come on, man. Like this, I mean, I if them, I'm still happy. I get a full share, but geez, come on, guys.
So I to that full share point, because you guys made that earlier, remember that the Regents of the University of California, and I won't get into the weeds too much on this, but the Regents at the University of California said, UCLA, you're going to have to pay Cal, they're calling it the Berkeley tax, right? Because you're going and taking the money and you're screwing over your neighbor. Well, now, you know, that discrepancy, that gap is even bigger and wider. So what's that tax going to look like? And the region said it might be anywhere from, I think, 2 to 10 million when that was going on back in December. I think we can expect that's going to be at the top of that range. I think so. UCLA, they're going to be paying a Berkeley tax, just, you know, for what it's worth. Yeah. Also worth noting, just in the larger realignment spectrum, the Arizona schools, Arizona and Arizona State, have the same board of regents. And there was a thought that when that meeting was going on, what was it, last week, that there was a lot of pressure for them to try to stay together, you know, because Arizona didn't want Arizona to leave. Well, a lot of people brought that up with Washington and Oregon schools, but they all have different boards of regents. And so we don't answer to the Washington State anything. You know, and the legislature could potentially step in, and there was actually a bill introduced this offseason, right? But it was killed. And I mean, there's really nothing that they can do now except, you know, kind of make a big kind of political hay out of it. And I expect that some people will probably do that. But just to walk through some of those machinations.
How happy are you that, like, I guess all of our worries that Washington would get, I hate to say this, but like upper campus would get too cute, and two, you know, we will not be the, you know, the conference that leaves our brothers behind, and just not, and they actually looked at, we got to survive dollars and cents. What saves Olympic sports, even though Olympic sports are going to have to travel a lot more. We've all talked about that, about the mess that it's going to be for softball and for, I mean, other sports. And we haven't even got into hoops, but like, you know, Indiana and all these other schools you get to play.
Well, those are on Wednesday night too.
I mean, yeah, that's right.
Five road trips a year. And instead of flying 3 hours to Colorado, we're flying 5 hours to Ohio State. Yeah. I mean, okay,
it's not as big of a deal.
Five road trips a year,
yeah,
on a Big Ten conference road schedule. Every other sport is going to be totally impacted by this. So, I mean, there's no doubt. Yeah. It's like you just dropped a nuclear bomb in the athletic department. Like, they're going to have to figure this all out by, you know, in the next 12 months.
You have four schools now on the West Coast, though, at least.
Yep.
Right?
At least.
That was way worse when it was just SC and UCLA, because now you've got some travel partners kind of stuff established. So at least we're making that a little bit better.
I bet in basketball, at least, I mean, I don't know anything about Big Ten basketball, so just caveat.
Yeah.
But I bet that they will do like a pod system, right? Where it's like these four schools will always play each other every year, home and away, and then we'll play everyone else like somewhere scattered around. That's what I bet would probably happen. With football, I think what I've been reading, and they had kind of been holding this public debate with all the schools, and the schools were trying to announce who their protected rivals are. This is the Big Ten with the 16-team schedule that just came out. Mm-hmm. Now they have to blow that up, right? That was basically, I heard somebody describe that as, well, that was just a good team-building exercise, nothing more. but now they have these three protected games.
Right.
Or up to three. And then they were playing the other 12 teams, six this year, six the next year. So you play everybody within 2 years. Well, now with 18 teams, that's not going to work. Right. So what you can do is up to one protected rival. And then the other 16 teams, eight this year, eight next year. So back to my earlier point, the rest of the Big Ten's like, why are we doing this? Michigan's not going to play Michigan State every year. Because of this. I mean, they haven't set what the schedule is going to be, but I'm just saying if that's the route they go, then here Michigan doesn't play a Michigan State every year because they're going to play Ohio State, you know, and Iowa's not going to play Nebraska every year anymore, which would have turned into quite a rivalry, you know, and because they're going to be playing, you know, Minnesota or whatever. So those things kind of, you know, it's not just – the conference we're leaving that we're nuking their tradition. We're also nuking the tradition the conference we're coming into.
That's right. We're just coming in with our S sandwich. Well, you get, some of the Olympic sports are interesting. We're like volleyball is going to take a step up because Big Ten volleyball is at another level, and you, that's big for UW. And the others were like, I was thinking about obviously the rich tradition with, you know, finishing boys in the boat and rowing. Like, who are we rowing again? Like that Cal UW, you know, rivalry.
Right,
that kind of
sacred.
Stuff.
It's sacred.
Yeah, and they, you know, they've got other regattas that I think they can figure out, but it's just like that kind of thing. And you know, you forget too. You forget that, like, while we have been the sort of eye roll of the Power Five, this is the oldest conference by far, as the Big others Ten. Have gone by the wayside. You know,
Big Ten. Big Ten.
Yeah, we're still older, right? We've been around long.
No, Big Ten was founded in 1895.
Oh, was it really?
One. Yep.
Yeah.
That's yep. Right. Yeah, Big Ten. Yeah, no, you're right. But even like SEC, you forget of like what was it before the SWAC, you know, before that, you know, both got blown up and then turned into what it is today. You know, that is just, I hope that they do survive. I'd love to, and I would love to see it. I would love to watch. I mean, shoot, I'll watch that, man. Give me, you know, coach a couple teams. I'll watch Hawaii and Oregon State, Pac-12 football. Well, throw it on.
Really, really. Oh, I mean, totally. By the way, I want to support the other Pac-12 school. I mean, fuck Oregon, right? But I want to support the
you
other.
Have to say it like, once per pod. Got to say it once per pod.
Yeah, I mean, well, right. I'm just saying. Like, I'm going to root for all those schools. I'm going to root for Cal. Like, mm-hmm. Hell yeah, I'm going to root for Cal. I'm probably not going to root for Arizona and Arizona State. They just bug me. but yeah, I think. What we should be saying, the elephant in the room is, right, this should be a football thing. This should be the football does this. They join these super conferences, right? These other schools shouldn't be in conferences like this. We shouldn't be playing Indiana in baseball, right?
Right.
We're going to fly 25 people and 25 equipment bags and staff and coaches and all that to Indiana, you know, three weeknights in March,
yep.
You know, gotta and then we're going to come home. I mean, so that stuff, the elephant in the room is, right, we should just be doing our own thing in football. These other sports should just be able to do their own thing, right? And maybe, hopefully, enough of these realignment kind of pieces and dominoes fall to the point where it's like, okay, the presidents have just had enough. Like, the Rutgers president just doesn't want to be flying the volleyball team to Seattle, you know? And he just, like, I'm done with it, you know? And so I think we could see something like that in the future. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen in this round of realignment or anything, but I mean, that's the way this all should be.
Well, we're excited. And think about all these canceled home and homes, Ohio State, Wisconsin. Now we get them at some point. I hope we don't lose that Tennessee one that's out earmarked in, I don't know, 7-8 years away. I hope we don't lose that one. I think it's just going to get really interesting if you look at, and now another, not only so, we got to win the Pac-12 this year. We got to beat Michigan State. We can't limp into the Big Ten with a freaking L at Michigan State. I mean, that the stakes are even higher now.
Yeah, we got to show up for that game. We've got to look good in that game.
Yeah, it's just embarrassing.
I think this is we're you know, we haven't gotten to the football Husky football aspect of this, right? But we're graduating or losing to the draft half our team. So 2024 is going to look a lot different. So I'm not predicting that we're going to storm into the Big Ten and take it by storm, you know, in the first year. But what I would say is I think we have proven ourselves and we want to keep doing that. And this year is an opportunity to, like, hey, let's win the last one of these trophies, right? Let's make sure Oregon doesn't win it. Let's make sure USC doesn't win it. Let's take it.
And look, these four schools that are rolling in would love to roll in with their heads held high of we're coming in winning the last year, you know, probably at some point making a big bid. But I tell you what, fellas, things could have been a lot worse for us as dog fans, right? I mean, as we're seeing with some of our compatriots, I'm glad, you know, if I could put a cap on this and everything, final thoughts, but I'm glad that Upper Campus didn't get too cute. I'm glad that Jen Cohen and Anne-Marie Calce, I think, did the right thing. Of course, I'm bummed for the end of what was Pac-12 football, these traditional rivalries. I feel bad for Oregon State and Wazoo and the others that are left behind. I'm bummed that we left some money on the table because I don't think we negotiated that well. I think, like, Kliapkov, you know, did ultimately show that he wasn't the person that, or didn't have the skill set that we thought he might, but he was also just dealt an absolute turd sandwich by our old buddy Larry Scott. I'm just pumped. It makes me, I'd say I'm even more excited. We were obviously already pumped about this year, but I even more so now that our future, I think, is in good hands. Any final thoughts, boys?
Yeah, you know, it's this, to your point, BT, let's start playing some football. Like, I want to see the product on the field. Checked out some practice reports. By all intents and purposes, it sounds like we should have a really good team this year. I'm excited just to watch some football.
Yeah, I mean, I think the hardest part of the last 14 months, really, you know, we went into the last season and we played the last season, but really once the off season began, it was just, when is the next domino going to fall, and is it going to fall down on us, right? Yeah. Or is it going to fall down on someone else? Is Oregon going to make it into the Big Ten and Stanford or something like that? Like, are our presidents going to say no because they want to play the Apple Cup in Pullman every other year? Or so, to your point, BT. So I'm glad that, yes, our stakeholders did the right thing. I think they did do the right thing here. Of course, I'm devastated. And I told the story on Twitter. I'll try to make it brief. But, I mean, my grandfather played football at Stanford. He later transferred to Wazoo. But then my parents met at UW. My dad working there got us season football tickets in 1990 at the peak of the Don James Huskies. And I was able to go to all of those huge games as a kid and fall in love with UW and fall in love with the Pac-12 and Pac-10 at that time, right? I was able to drive to the Rose Bowl as a student to watch Marcus Tuiasosopo. And I was able to take my wife to the last Rose Bowl in 2018 against Ohio State. And like, Pac-12 football, West Coast football is part of the fabric of my DNA. Our family drove to Pasadena in 1991 and 92, and the Huskies won two huge Rose Bowls. And like, we had the whole family in the car, went to Disneyland, and it was like one of the epic times of my life, you know. And so nobody wanted things to end this way. And if I told you 12 years ago we just signed the biggest contract in college football, right, it never would have occurred to any of us. I would have given you a million to one odds, right, that this would happen. Nobody wanted it to happen this way. But because of the way everything was lining up and the way the college football is going, we had to adapt or we were going to die. And so we did the right thing. I'm ultimately really happy that we're here. But it's not easy to leave all of that other tradition behind. And I don't want to, but I know that we have to.
That's right. Well said, Law Dog. Let's end it on that. Hey, we're going to keep going as a podcast. We're going to check out the defense. We're going to check out the offense. And then we got a Boise State preview to get after. Lots of fun coming up. Go Dogs, huh?
Go Dogs. Oof.
Nope. Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Washington State University.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Oregon and Stanford.
Nope.
Touchdown, Washington.
Yep.
Los perros esquimales están arriba. Aquí estamos. Aquí nos quedamos y aquí ganamos. Y hoy, los patos de Oregón bow down to Washington.